Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
These days, it seems everything is going green. Green cars, green homes, green energy, and, oi, green bar mitzvahs? According to Jewish tradition, a bar mitzvah marks a child's rite of passage into adulthood. The ceremony is a solemn affair, but afterwards, there are often blowout parties with tons of food and mishugana themes. You can have a James Bond bar mitzvah, Vegas casino bar mitzvah, even an oxygen bar mitzvah. Now there's a small but growing sustainable bar mitzvah movement. Kate Harrison operates greenbarmitzvahs.com. And Kate, shalom.
Thanks so much for having me.
So give me some examples. How do you make a green bar mitzvah?
Well, you mentioned the food, oy, right? Every bar mitzvah has food, this huge celebration. Food is really at the center of the Jewish life. And by choosing local foods, seasonal foods, organic foods, you can have all the things you're used to having, but in a green way, a way that doesn't harm the earth.
But you're still going to have a lot of food.
Oh, yeah, you can have tons of food. And leftovers are fine. You know, send them home in boxes made from recycled cardboard.
I was looking at your website, and some people came up with centerpieces with canned goods that they would then donate to a food pantry. What a great idea.
Yeah, I love this idea. And some of the sculptures that you can make out of canned goods are really beautiful. And it doesn't have to just be canned goods. I saw another one. Someone wrote in about where they use stuffed animals, but just the idea that you're, instead of just using flowers for your centerpiece, that you have something that you can then donate to the community or use for change or good.
Is there any part of the Jewish religion or heritage that's green that's the basis of this?
Well, the relationship between Jews and the environment goes back over 7,000 years, from the Kashrut movement to stewardship of the earth type language in the Talmud and in the Torah.
Kashrut means kosher.
Yeah, kashrut is a whole system of laws about how to tend for animals and also the earth. So, for example, the organic movement and the kashrut movement overlap in that every 7 years in Judaism, you have to let the land fallow. And the idea of that is that the land needs to replenish itself and build up its nutrient base. And that really ties into the idea of the organic food movement, where it's all about soil fertility. So these modern ideas really have a basis in ancient tradition.
Here's one I really liked, a hemp kippur. That's a yarmulke, skullcap that you wear.
So hemp kippot are really fun, but one of my favorite eco-friendly Jewish-focused elements that I've seen are these eco-suede kippot. And they're actually made out of a recycled cardboard, but they're very soft and they're recycled. So most kippot are made out of sort of a velvet or a petroleum base, where eco-suede kippot or hemp kippot or silk kippot are all made out of sustainable materials.
Well, I got to tell you, Kate, the yarmulkes that I have are all recycled. They all come from somebody else's bar mitzvah.
And actually, that, you know, it's funny you say that, because recycling is another form of being green. And instead of getting any kind of new kippot or talis, you can borrow all that stuff.
Kate, does going green mean spending more green, or is it can you save money?
This is a myth I'm working really hard to try to dispel, that by making green choices, you have to spend more. In fact, across the board, I've found that you can save about 40% off the cost of any party by going green.
Well, Kate, I want to bring Brendan Epryl into our conversation. He's in Bennington, Vermont, and was recently bar mitzvahed. Brendan, mazel tov.
Thank you.
So how green was your bar mitzvah?
I don't know, on a scale to 1 to 10, how green it was, but we had cardboard yarmulkes, recyclable, and we had compostable plates and compostable forks and cups made out of corn, and it was in a very green place that had solar power instead of regular power, so I guess you could say it's green.
It was very green. Brendan was kind enough to let me write about his bar mitzvah on the site, and it was a beautiful party, and he had a lot of really very cool eco-friendly elements.
Brendan, I'm looking at some pictures of your bar mitzvah, and is that your dad being lifted up in a chair?
Yeah.
So you have a cake in the shape of a guitar. Do you play?
Oh, yeah, I do play guitar.
Anything green about the cake?
Well, not the cake itself, but the guitar itself. When I played it, the amp was run by solar power because every single thing, like the lights, everything was run by solar power. So I wasn't causing an impact while I was playing guitar.
So how did the guests react to your green bar mitzvah?
Oh, I think they liked it, but a lot of people ended up throwing out the plates in the garbage instead of the compost. A lot of people were just more really happy by the beautiful setting and stuff.
Well, with Kate, that brings up an interesting point. I mean, at a bar mitzvah, you produce a lot of chazarai, a lot of garbage.
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, the average party produces about 600 pounds of waste. I should add that Brendan's mother told me that she ended up digging through the garbage to pull those plates out and compost them. So, and one of the things that I talk about a lot and try to emphasize is that when you do make green choices like those plates, let guests know about it because it's an educational opportunity for them. And also then, you know, they won't throw them away and you won't have to go dig through the trash. It can be a lesson to us all.
Well, Kate, it's been a lesson for me. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Kate Harrison operates the website greenbarmitzvahs.com. And Brendan, thank you.
Thank you.
And mazel tov again. You're now a man.
A green man.
Thank you.
Brendan E. Pryle lives in Bennington, Vermont, and was recently bar mitzvahed. On the next Living on Earth, coal miners learn to leverage their labor for a better life.
They understood, you know, it was really their labor that made this world go round. And so they understood that by cutting off the flow of energy to the broader society, that that was really the strongest lever that they had to secure what they wanted.
Killing for coal, the deadly consequences of a miner's strike. Next time on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Mitra Taj, and Jeff Young, with help from Sarah Calkins and Marilyn Gavoni. Our interns are Lindsay Breslau, Liz Gross, and Christine Parrish. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. I'm Bruce Kellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs around the world. Uncommon heroes dedicated to the common good. Learn more at skoll.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.